What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Blockhash Exploring the Blockchain. Quick message from our sponsor, Nitro Betting. Nitro Betting is a top Bitcoin and crypto betting site that allows you to place bets in casino games, sports books, racing, gaming, you name it. It's your money. You should be able to
hear that. Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Have fun with it too, outside of traditional investing. So check out all the action at nitrobetting.eu. All links are in the description below. Enjoy the episode, guys. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Blockhash Exploring the Blockchain, episode 365. Today, I have Ilya Pashkov, hopefully I pronounced that correctly, the founder of Altar Metaverse. He's doing a bunch of things, honestly. He's part of a bunch of projects. He has a huge skill set. This guy's a futurist. He's an entrepreneur. We're going to talk with him today about the breadth of skills he has in his tool belt within working in Web3 and some of the projects that he's a part of. So Ilya, welcome to the show, man. Super happy to have you here and have a cool free-flowing conversation.
Thank you, Brandon. Pleasure to meet you. Happy to be here.
Likewise. Let's kick it off with a little bit of a story or background about yourself. Who are you? You know, what have you done in the past? you know, what's your story?
Yeah, sure. Originally from Ukraine, was born in Ukraine, and started my career, I would say, as a designer. I was very passionate about computers and internet because I was living in a time when there was no internet, and I remember that pretty good. And then I remember the time when the internet just started. It was like something revolutionary happening in the world, and I, being a kid, I actually felt that that's something I want to be related to. I want to be doing something with it. So I was kind of like scaling my knowledge super fast. I was even like hacking, like doing some computing, coding, you know, like different things because I knew everything about computers. I made it, did it for fun, being in high school. Mm-hmm. And then ninth grade, I decided that I want to switch to design, to graphics. Because I felt passion to like designing things, and being in a school, I went working to like a small design shop where they've been producing the CDs for different artists and you know, music labels and like different things. So I was designing posters, covers for CDs and things like that. So age like 21. I already started my first development shop, and in parallel, I've already been working in ad agencies. So I've been working in branding, marketing, graphic design, and scaling to art and creative director position. So I was like running designers and been executing the full stack projects. That is could be branding and identity, marketing, and like everything. So working in the industry, when you work in branding, you kind of like, you have to understand what is this business about always. So like you're creating the concepts for brands, you're creating the brand story or something else, and you want to deep dive into that industry, deep dive into that project to get full clarity, and then how you generate the best ideas. So kind of like working in branding, marketing, and in parallel running my dev shop, building a website. There was no mobile apps yet. That's how I, you know, gained the experience, you know, working with the clients, building something, and kind of like scaling myself through like different skill set, different tool sets. Being like a person who changing the hats all the time because, you know, mm-hmm. running your own company, dev shop, running the managing developers, And then in parallel, you have to focus on the design always and build something. That's kind of like gave me, that's how I gained an experience to, you know, pretty much became who am I right now. So then I got hired by BMW, and I was going through different design positions in general in my career, is like UI, UX design, product designer, a brand designer, industrial designer, maybe even a little bit. And because I've been working on different projects, running my consulting development projects, and again, always focusing on branding and design as the core fundamental things to start with. So worked for BMW, designed UI UX, product design for BMW cars. And at that time I moved to US already. And then started my consulting, started focusing on my consulting company, and became like a digital nomad for like 5 years, I think. I've been traveling, especially crypto, because I jumped into crypto pretty early. Bitcoin was around $40 when I started. And then I had like, I told this story many times, how I lost my Bitcoins, lost my 80 Bitcoins wallet and things like that. So it was like everyone has these stories in crypto. I had mine. Mm-hmm. Very similar, but that, you know, ability to join early gave me the opportunity to learn, you know, how to treat crypto, how to play with it, what to do with it, because initially it was just an ability to buy pizza or a domain or, you know, hosting or something like that. Even not all the services were providing abilities to pay with crypto.
Yeah, man, you have a wide, varied list of experiences, you know, I think developing out over time, you know, especially pre-internet too. Like, I barely remember those days. I was very, very young, but I do remember, you know, what the size of the cell phones looked like and the fact that it was dial-up internet and AOL was like the place to go for email. And exactly. My parents still have AOL email addresses.
I probably still do somewhere mine as well, but it was very, very, very fun. And especially for me, we're born in Soviet Union, so it's like totally different game. So like, I remember my grandma had the phone, and like, you have to like dial
the know, rotary
like, rotary. Yeah, exactly.
My grandma has I don't know if she still has it, but when I was a kid, she had a rotary phone in her house. It didn't work, but it was still on the wall mounted and everything. And I thought that was the coolest thing as a kid. Because I was like, what? You had to spin it around to call someone? Like, you didn't have a button you could push?
Yeah, I remember I've been using those because, you know.
Yeah, it's wild when you can remember times like that. And then you look at the world today in such a, you know, is, you know, history is a very vast, but over the last 30, 40, 50 years, things have changed very dramatically.
Yep.
It's quite wild when you think about it, and especially now that we have blockchain and we have a whole Web3 revolution. We have things like the metaverse and
AI,
and I don't recognize this world. Goodness.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about my favorite movie was when I was a kid, was always the Back to the Future. And it was always interesting currently to see, you know, what's the things that they predicted are actually happen and which one are not. It's so interesting that, you know, we still don't have like a flying cars so popular, but some items like Nike's, you know, launched the same shoes. And with NFTs, actually, have you seen those?
Mm-hmm.
The NFT sneakers, they're pretty funny. I just saw it like a month ago, I think. My friends had it. And you know, the Terminator movie about the AI and the robots like coming from the future, that's kind of fun too. I feel like we're getting closer to that time already.
Yeah, I think in Back to the Future, the year they went to was like 2015. So it was kind of cool to compare technology in 2015 to what they thought it would look like in Back to the Future.
Right.
Surprisingly, there were a lot of things that were actually accurate. Like some of the augmented reality, holographic, you know, displays and advertising, VR headsets they had, and the video communication that didn't exist then that existed in 2015. Like, some of that stuff was actually kind of spot on. Whereas others like the hoverboards and the flying cars, you know, not, maybe may never happen.
A little bit earlier. But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to catch it up soon, because, you know, I've seen already the prototype of several probably of them, but I've seen the pretty cool ones, the flying car prototype, I think just a couple of days ago. So we're getting so close to the time where we can do almost the same things.
Yeah, I've seen the flying taxis. I don't know how that's going to really work in a big city, but, you know,
I feel like it's going to be like a regulations, you know, that's what's happening currently with drones. Latest, I think I've seen it was like a flying drone, but it's a big scale drone where you can actually see it like you see it like in a car, but you pretty much control it yourself. It's super cool. It looks pretty cool. Like
Elon had a really interesting take on it quite a while back when he was building out the Boring Company, how flying cars were just not practical. You know, if you're not maintaining your car and taking care of it, what happens if parts start falling off of it or it's leaking something or someone throws something out the window? And, you know, there's a lot of liability for everyone on the ground. So it almost makes more sense to build underground and to have, like, you know, those tunnels and a Boring Company, you know, put these systems together versus giant metal objects flying over your head every single day. It does, you know, sound a little bit more of a problem.
Yeah, if it's going to be fully, I would say, like, automated to from the control of the humans and controlled by AI, let's say, and, you know, automated flying. So you, like, you sit in the car and it took you to some, taking you to some, something, to some direction, that I see more possible, because imagine if, like, people are going to be actually controlling themselves. It's way more, it's way harder than you have just like a straight road. You turn right, you turn left. You can, like, go like 360 direction. It means that, you know, there's a big possibility to make a mistake or something, and then you can bump into someone and both car are gonna fall, and, you know, somebody can be damaged or some house can be damaged or something like that. So more like an automated flying, like an Uber with AI and self-driving flying cars. I see it more realistic in the beginning. Because it's like a helicopter, you have to know, or like a plane, you have to know the trajectory, you have to know the path where it's flying. So, and it should be on the radar. So all other objects who fly, and they have to understand that they go into the right direction. They're not they're not bumping into each other. So if there is a possibility to have this, bump or something, that should be somehow avoided. So it's just going to make the system more complicated, because AI have to, like, say, no, this direction you can go. You can go only there. Okay. Something. So it's going to be a part of, like, automated flying.
Yeah. I could see these air taxis, you know, existing and having like an AI, like, navigation system or something like that to, like, make sure that people aren't, you know, being crazy up there and driving themselves. I think that's, like, the worst part of it. Imagine if you fly above everyone through New York City, the liability of flying into a building or, you know, running into an important structure or hitting a construction crane or telephone lines. Like, there's just too many things that could go wrong. So I do think it'll happen, but it'll probably be at, like, an automated AI, like, taxi type of
work. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Have you used the automated driving cars, like Uber or something?
I used to have a Tesla, and it would drive me around, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I use Tesla too, but I think there was like a fully automated, like an Uber car or something I've seen, right? In some regions. I never used those
yet. Yeah. They're in some cities, they're testing them out where you can order an Uber and the Uber has no driver and it picks you up and it takes you to the destination, which is kind of cool, but at the same time, there's no human element, and you kind of worry because there's so many people that rely on those type of jobs now. Because it's not something that would just replace an Uber, it would replace taxis too. And those unions are very strong, and, you know, they're the demand for Uber and Lyft and those companies are very strong. So I don't know if how that'll play out, but I've never tried that experience. I've only tried it, like, in my own Tesla. Like, it's really cool how well it works.
Yeah, I've seen just only videos. I think it was somewhere in like Silicon Valley area for sure. I think I've seen a few examples there. I think I even seen like the car driving like that, but never tried it myself. And yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, we are got to the point where AI already taken pretty much such a big control in everything what we do, and you know, integrated, being integrated so well on every step, I would say. And currently, we are in this transformational stage where, hey, what's gonna happen in the future? We're gonna be like working on that. How we gonna be actually?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Applying our knowledge in the future ourselves. I kind of feel it already myself. It's interesting feeling, you know. I don't feel myself old still, so but you know, I feel myself pretty well experienced. But the idea of like how you can apply your skill sets, you know, if of course you still, you know, can sell your skills, I would say, right? So you can like become a professional in anything, and you can still apply that to any job you do. But with the time is like currently like I'm not sure.
Hey guys, quick message from our sponsor, Nitro Betting. Nitro Betting takes your desire for anonymity seriously and allows you to play without the need to worry about identity checks and personal information. It's a betting site, not an investment site, so you should be able to just have fun. As a top trusted Bitcoin betting site, Nitro Betting has truly got your back. Now, back to the episode, guys.
I'm not sure if like I am good as much as like AI can deliver the results. Of course, I know that I'm gonna own the general idea. I'm gonna be controlling everything. But with an AI, you can optimize the process so much better that, you know, better than human can do, and faster than human can do. And it's so interesting because I'm not sure that the AI can fully replace human, but to be a good like tool set that help you to navigate to work for sure. And we can all see like the industry, how it's shaking currently, like how many people lost their jobs. I'm talking to many friends of mine who've been like, you know, who's like a senior front-end developers, let's say, or back-end developers working for the big enterprise companies. And they never had issues with job. And right now I'm getting some messages like, hey, they fired me, you know, and things like that. So I'm looking for a job right now. And so many, you know, situations like that currently on the market, especially in the United States, that kind of like topic that you said about the, you know, self-driving cars and the unions and things like that. It's very interesting to be a part of this transformation. We have to adapt. We have to see how, you know, how to apply our knowledge to continue growing. But the future is definitely interesting.
It is. AI is, you know, obviously here in 23 has really broken out and I think captivated many people with what it can do. You know, kind of curious what your thoughts are on the state of AI, artificial intelligence, language learning models, you know, maybe where that can take us. Do you think it's going to be something incredibly beneficial for society where they're helping us in research, they're helping us travel, they're helping us perform, they're helping us to be better and more efficient as a human race, as a species? Or is it like Terminator-esque, iRobot-esque, and it's something that, you know, could have a malicious intent towards humanity, maybe want to kill us, take us over, control us? I mean, I think all cards are on the table with that, because who knows how that plays out. And I do worry about how we influence the development of an AI algorithm. But it's still very early. Just kind of curious, you know, what direction do you feel maybe we're heading with this?
Yeah, I feel like is the like working in AI space, machine learning, image recognition, and all these industries currently is the big trend, of course, based on the hype we are going through. But I feel like the pure Web3, or doesn't matter how we're going to call this terminology, even though Web3 started with a blockchain, and then everyone started to push into the metaverse because everyone thought this is going to be the next step. But kind of like AI came to the game and say like, hey, you forgot about me. I'm actually the main. I'm gonna take lead here. I feel like the real Web3 is actually I don't know, Web4. Okay, let's call it Web4 maybe. But the real transformation is happening currently with the AI era that starting in the tech internet development. I would say it was like a regular internet where we have ability just to have an email, right, and chat to each other, and have the voice calls, and then blockchain that created cryptocurrencies, that fully new industry that actually changed the financial system and created transparency in the transaction and things like that. And then AI that can actually optimize everything, control everything, be your amazing tool for everything. And I feel like that direction going to be taking a huge lead into, first of all, optimizing all the industries. And I just came to from TechCrunch. So many AI projects, of course. Like last year, it was Web3, Metaverse, pam, pam, pam. Everyone is just focusing on that. Currently, there is almost no blockchain I've seen. It's like AI just, everywhere. And obviously, because it's such a big step, to be honest, where I don't know. Let's say you and me, we're not lawyers. We can go to ChatGPT and generate a contract for ourselves, like without paying anyone. Be sure that it's pretty much going to be like 99% good enough to use to start, right? And that could be applied for any industry. I just can't even imagine this the speed and the possibilities that's going to happen in 5 years, just with the ability to optimize the code, write yourself. Right now you're not even a developer. You can get any CSS or PHP, doesn't matter what you use, or like Solidity, Rust code, whatever you write. And then that's just on the optimization of the workflow perspective. But then diving deep into like science, diving deep into research and R&D, how much it could help people to explore. And let's say we get to the point where AI is going to be already like scaled as much that it's going to be independent. I'm just seeing it as an Oracle or something where we're going to be paying a subscription. Do you have a connection to Oracle? Yes, of course. Awesome. So now you can ask anything, and it's going to be kind of like almost like a god, the all the informational field that connected to Ether and know everything. And then you can ask anything pretty much that's going to answer your question pretty much. What do you think? Like, when is how we can get to the another planet? What other planets in the solar system, or what other planets in the universe that are actually similar to Earth, based on all the research that AI can get from space stations and different planets analyzing the sky using image recognitions, can find those planets that are similar to Earth way faster than human does. And because of the optimization of development of anything also going to grow faster. I feel like that's where it's going to be helping humanity a lot, like on the spaceships, like they show in movies, like main AI controlling everything on a spaceship, and it's like a main brain, like an oracle that helps you navigate through everything. That's I've seen like pretty much the direction where it's going to be taken. Of course, there is a possibility to have the Terminator, and but I feel like it's currently because humans kind of like know those directions. They design the system. It could happen only if humans gonna do some mistake. Like this, let's say they like forget some element of the code that's gonna be saying, hey, you grow yourself, learn yourself, collect information yourself, and then make decisions yourself. But I mean, I don't think humans are stupid to make such a fault, even though there is a possibility. I feel like that's one direction that like that's the second direction it could take. And the third direction is actually when imagine that AI or controlling that system could go to like terrorist hands or somebody who actually can use it opposite of something that humans need, but like to take control of government, planet, and things like that. It's also doable because whoever going to be controlling the main AI, he's going to be probably the richest person in the world and the main power in the world as well, because full, like, the big scale of AI. That's why it's very interesting game starting right now, is in general, like, how the countries being protected with the IPs and things like that, because we are transforming into something new and something big for sure. So let's see, let's make our own game, I would say, because we all, you know, the direction we want to take that AI and everything. So I feel like we have the full opportunity to make it good.
Yeah, I mean, if AI ever becomes autonomous in any kind of way, I have a feeling it's going to be more like Transformers than it will be like Terminator, because I feel like they will rely on us in a lot of ways. Like, there are certain things humans do that an AI, I don't think, would be able to do artificially, such as dive to the bottom of the ocean and fix a cable, and or potentially, you know, run a nuclear reactor. I feel like synthetic materials wouldn't hold up in certain types of environments, or know how to, you know, work around those problems correctly. And there's a lot of things that, you know, may not be put into an AI's knowledge base that, you know, a human might be better fit for. So I don't know. I feel like it's more likely that they would work alongside us, and we'd be sending them out into the solar system, into the universe, doing things on our behalf, because it's more efficient to do that versus ourselves, and we're very fragile beings. Then it is for them to be, I think, combative with us.
Exactly, exactly. But I feel like, you know, the idea of cyborgs, that's where we anyway gonna take us with AI, as AI as well. And, you know, all these projects like Neuralink, and, you know, all these different organs that humans can replace with, like, synthetic organs that they build with an AI. Because, you know, we currently in the stage of evolution as a species, right? Because applying AI gonna make us like 100x smarter, let's say, so we can advance our brain skills, and because our need actually anyway is to discover new planets and, you know, pretty much continue life on different planets. You know, it's like the part of evolution, I think, for humanity. There is no way we can live here for another, continue destroying this planet, and, like, it's going to be impossible to survive here, right? So we humans, like a virus, we have to, like, spray it and take everything somewhere, even though it's not the, you know, best way to put it, but it's kind of true. But I feel like, because it's a big part of evolution, we have to improve our skills of, you know, being the alive creatures, like wearing some suits, wearing some special, maybe, like, adding the microscheme to your brain. Imagine you're living in space. Imagine you, like, Mars is your first station where you take and start, and then you fly to some different other planets. And the atmosphere is very different. Like, the surviving abilities are so different. So you have to be modified well, like, have a proper suit that actually going to be your body modification with AI, like an Iron Man, let's say, or something like that.
Oh, man, that'd be sweet. I just want my personal little Jarvis in the back of my head at all times.
Me too. Me too. That'll be awesome.
There's I think, a great portion of humanity that's captivated and fascinated by the external reality we live in and what we can do, where we can go. But there's also virtual reality and, you know, what kind of worlds can we create ourselves and that we can go into, maybe to even escape reality. And I know you work with some projects here in the metaverse. What's your take on where we're at with that? There's been a ton of development lately. Facebook and Apple releasing headsets and their own takes on augmented reality, mixed reality, virtual reality. Obviously, we had it blow up a couple of years ago. It's kind of died off a little bit, but I think it's going to come back. What do you think of, what is the metaverse to you, and where do you kind of see this going?
Yeah, so first of all, I see that it's going to be not just, you know, internal experience. Yes, we can have them, and it's very cool, and it's important to, you know, let's say, be in your room and then explore different worlds. It's just like the first use case. For me, the meta world and metaverse itself is the ability to map out different 3D worlds. maybe that could be linked to your locations on a map. So let's say you are in your room, and then you can kind of like have different layers of virtual reality of different objects that actually apply to your room. So let's say you in your room, but you want to go and watch the movie, or you actually want to go outside and play some different game. And the ability is have the ability to have additional layers of reality, so-called XR, to the to the current reality, current location on the map. And then that's pretty much what created, like, I was working in, with Metaverse, AR, XR for the past like 10 years, doing different virtual reality experience, augmented reality experience. I worked with big companies. We had a pretty good team who've been, delivering different AR, VR projects. But I feel like the big evolution happened when actually blockchain came to this game, because my biggest passion was kind of like, I was finally happy that, oh my God, I finally can do it. Like, actually, right now, I can build this virtual reality I was dreaming about. So I can, the how I started building, actually, I can place any 3D object to any location on the map. And that 3D object could be in smart contracts, so technically this could be an asset, not just 3D asset, but also a blockchain, so-called currency, right? Or NFT. And that smart contract can contain some attributes. So you can have some gamified experience with it, like let's say Pokemon Go, but with AI currently is also could be pretty randomized, and that object could be your, I don't know, dancing tutor that you can select this the skin or avatar for. It's going to be like, I don't know, Taylor Swift. We're going to be teaching you like how to dance salsa, for example. And you can see that avatar in the AR, and because it's NFT, you're already paying for subscription, so you already can like using it. But if you if you're gonna apply ability to bridge that NFT with a smart contract with any other object, so you can also have kind of ability to upgrade it. And grow it, grow its levels, I would say, and grow your own levels. So there's so much possibility using the technology and playing around with it. So that's where I see the future of Metaverse, not just to be stuck in web. Of course, with kind of the Apple coming to the game and spatial UI, and that's going to be a pretty serious like game started there, because now you can work different many tools just being at one location, and you can like you're extending your screen so much that you can apply different UI, different software, different skill sets. Just pretty much design your room. Your room is going to be your computer pretty much, and it's kind of cool. You can put your screen on that wall, and then it's going to be your beat making machine. This is going to be your synths here, and this is like your design table or something. And then you can like you walk around and you pretty much do different experiences using different software in that virtual augmented reality. And then you can change those layers. Let's say it's a desktop for writing music. Now you have like DJ mixer, beat making machine or synths, and then you switch to designing something or engineering something, and you put different tools to your table. So that integration, I feel like, with physical world is very important, where you can, not just like see everything as an image, but the objects are integrated into your reality, like 3D objects walking around the table. You have the control on the table or like somewhere on the wall. You can place different objects wherever you like. So I feel like that's the very important key there to actually, entertain with Metaverse. And then that's how I, kind of like started doing R&D with my team, and build different solutions for that. Currently, we are, Altered Self. We started as the, NFT, and bridging different projects together, bridging different metaverses together, pretty much becoming like a backend team for big metaverse companies. Nobody even know which companies we work with. It's kind of like, sometimes an NDA, and I can't even share this information. But we've been pretty deep into like R&D for metaverse, building something that not exists yet, and kind of like doing the R&D work in that space, making things happen using like Unreal Engine, Unity, applying blockchain, and then using the latest trends in like video graphics, like Nvidia and other technologies to make things happen.
One more question before we kind of start wrapping things up slowly. What are you working on now in particular? Are you working on Alter? Are you working on some other projects? What's your main focus at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm working on Alter. Alter is the like a metaverse technology that, as I said, we are building. It was a bit hard year for the metaverse industry in general. You probably, as you've seen with all the trends and hype for AI, but the big goal right now is to apply AI to it and finalize the R&Ds that we've been working. So Alter is still going, even though we're delaying the launch of the metaverse itself. It just doesn't make sense to pretty much launch it the way it's supposed to be launched, like last year. But the tech is still there, and we utilizing this tech. We're building a lot of things for different companies, for big metaverse projects. So I work as a consultant for AR, XR, 3D projects and studios, and game dev companies. I also, with my partner, we started cannabis software. It's called Vidar. That's actually where we utilizing a lot of AR as well. You can open every product, but the idea, because we picked that niche industry because it's way more easy to start from there and scale from there to any other industry. But we're building like loyalty system, NFTs, marketplace delivery of the product, kind of like changing the e-commerce and buying experience in general. Yeah, and then pretty much, as I said, I work as a consultant and pretty much building things in web, blockchain, and metaverse space.
Nice, man. Where can people get in contact with you if they want to consult with you personally regarding metaverse development or any other kind of development that you have within your skill set, tool set? Where they want to learn more about what you're working on. Where's the best place to go? Is it LinkedIn? Is it socials? Is it just directly to email?
LinkedIn works. Usually it's can, I'm getting a bunch of messages there, so it's better to send message on LinkedIn. And also my email, i@pshkv.com. So it's like Pashkov, but pshkv abbreviation.com, pretty easy. Yeah, that's the best place. LinkedIn or email.
Awesome, man. It's been a fascinating conversation. We've covered quite a few different topics, but it's cool to see, I think, the wide array of knowledge that you have through your experience, on all of these different things and what you work on. And there's a value, lot of value to attribute to that. So, congrats, man, and fantastic conversation. So, thanks for coming on and sharing that today. And we're gonna have to do a couple more episodes. I think there's a lot of more we can dive into.
I'll be happy. I can continue forever, especially on the topic of innovation. I can talk forever about everything. And thank you so much for inviting, Brendan. If you feel that, there is anything interesting we can talk about, I'll be happy to do
I think there will be. So we'll keep in
it.
touch on that. But take care and have a good day, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much. Likewise.
Final message from our sponsor, Nitro Betting. Nitro Betting gives you so many options to bet, wager, play with a deep sports book from NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, MMA, to motorsports, poker, blackjack, esports, Rocket League, Call of Duty, you name it. There's plenty of diversity and choice. So go to nitrobetting.eu to experience everything they have to offer. All links are in the description for the episode, and see you guys on the next one.